Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Deng Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. Delegates in Addis Ababa reject IGAD's latest peace proposal, but IGAD's special envoy to South Sudan urges the parties to find common ground.
I further encourage the South Sudanese parties and stakeholders to consider the IGAD bridging proposals, which reflects a considered effort to identify common ground between the different negotiating positions.
And while the parties continue talking in the Ethiopian capital, there's more fighting back home.
We have received information indicating that Riek Machar had instructed his field commanders to start offensive operations in three states.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Opposition groups taking part in the high-level revitalization forum in Addis Ababa have rejected a peace proposal drafted by IGAD mediators. The proposal addresses governance, leadership, and security issues. The South Sudan government says it partially agrees with the proposed deal. Waki Simon Mudu reports for VOA from the Ethiopian capital.
Opposition groups, including the SPLMIO and the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, say the IGAD proposal does not address the root causes of the South Sudan conflict. They also argue it gives the current government, run by President Salva Kiir, far more positions in a future transitional government. Mabior Garang is the SPLMIO spokesman.
We have rejected the proposal because it has not reflected the views which we had in the proposals, because last time we were told to submit our proposals, and when we look at this agreement, it does not reflect the proposal in that we had. In fact, it looks more like an agreement on surrender, really, because it has given everything to the government.
Kwaje Lasso, spokesperson for the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, a coalition of 9 opposition groups, says his group rejects the proposed agreement because it has no provisions for transforming South Sudan into a democratic country.
We believe that IGAD proposal, it is rather is a position of the government of South Sudan whereby they're trying to maintain the status quo.
South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwe says he too does not fully agree with the proposed deal because some of its provisions do not take into consideration the government's position on key issues of leadership, governance, and security. But he says he agrees with some areas outlined in the proposal.
Some of those areas are areas of removal of the first vice president and the vice president. These are areas like the responsibility sharing.
Pagan Amom, head of the former detainees, says his group rejects the IGAD proposal because aside from failing to address the causes of South Sudan's conflict, the proposal does not have clear programs for the country to move forward.
The agreement should be about stopping the war, should be about avoiding South Sudan returning to war again. The agreement should be about the rights of our people as equal citizens. The agreement should be talking about stopping the violations of human rights of our citizens, should be about ensuring that the impunity of violence against women in terms of sexual violence and other forms of violence should be stopped. The agreement should be about stopping the violent displacement of our people, including forcing millions of our people into refuge, and should be talking about how to agree on programs for the return of our displaced persons, for the return of our refugees from outside the country to come back home. The agreement should be talking about programs of resettlement, programs of rehabilitation. The agreement should be focused on how to change the policies and of management of our economy, and should be about recovery of the economy, should be about stopping the widespread corruption.
Ismail Weiss, IGAD's special envoy to South Sudan, says the proposed draft is a deal that identifies some common ground for all of the parties.
I further encourage the South Sudanese parties and stakeholders to consider the IGAD bridging proposals, which reflects a considered effort to identify common ground between the different negotiating positions.
The second phase of the High-Level Revitalization Forum ends today. Weiss says IGAD will invite the warring parties to Addis for more talks. No date for a resumption in talks has been set. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
A South Sudanese analyst says the failure by the parties to strike a deal mediated by church leaders is a result of a lack of proper planning. Remember, Mia Mingi, who works with the South Sudan Human Rights Observatory, tells Waki Simon Wudu in the Ethiopian capital that the draft proposal by IGAD on power sharing and security arrangements does not solve or address the root causes of the conflict in South Sudan.
Now, in terms of this round, a number of things have gone wrong and a number of things have gone right. And I will start with the fact that, first, at least, the round provided additional opportunity for South Sudanese to talk. And that brought in the dimension of the church that facilitated some inter-South Sudanese dialogue. The result, of course, is very disappointing. The way IGAD went about providing for this platform for South Sudanese to talk was ad hoc, not prepared for, as an afterthought. And as a result, the dialogue did not in any way help move the discussion on the conflict in South Sudan forward. It was a failure in many fronts and a disappointing one for that matter.
Here comes, the involvement of the church. Although there is no breakthrough that the church has made on the really key issues, security and governance, why do you think it got brought in the church?
My understanding is that during the last round, there was a request to IGAD by South Sudanese, some section of South Sudanese, that there was a need for a intra-South Sudanese dialogue. And as a result, I think that IGAD then created that platform this time around to provide South Sudanese with an opportunity to narrow the gap that had existed between the parties. But the way it was done, I don't think that the church was prepared for it, number one. Number two, that as we talk about inclusivity with respect to the political actors, the church that participated in that dialogue was not inclusive. For example, you had a very major section of the church, the Catholic Church, was not represented. You had church in the non-government-controlled areas, church in the region that's persecuted, were not represented. And so if the church was given an opportunity to have prepared, developed a strategy, had an approach, mobilized their constituency, probably the result would have been better than this.
Immediately, not too long, IGAD leaders came out with a proposed draft agreement. You have gone through it. Do you think is the way forward, looking at where we are currently with this phase of the talks?
The proposal that IGAD produced this evening is a stillbirth. It is dead on arrival. It is not going to go anywhere, not even with the parties. In my opinion, not even a decent attempt to try and address the conflict in South Sudan.
That's Remember Mia Mingi, who works with the South Sudan Human Rights Observatory. He was speaking to Waki Simon Wudu in Addis Ababa. Tomorrow, Mia Mingi talks about what he thinks is the best way forward for South Sudan. Various South Sudanese groups meeting in Addis Ababa are working around the clock to try to work out their differences on an array of obstacles that led to the collapse of the 2015 peace deal. Our reporter, Dimo Silva Aurelio, went to the streets of Juba to ask people about their expectations from Addis Ababa following 5 days of intense negotiations.
No matter what, they need to agree. We have suffered enough. They should not be looking strictly at the issue of positions, because that's currently what is seriously affecting the peace process. They should actually consider the people of South Sudan above their positions.
My name is Kelwela Gokwish. Look around the streets of Juba, you will see how people are suffering.
My name is Viola Ito Henry. We really need peace to happen. we face a lot of challenges in this country, South Sudan. That is what I'm expecting our leaders who are there in Addis to struggle for peace to happen.
By name Francis Agwek, they should compromise each other there in Addis Ababa and they come with a lasting peace. If they don't want to come with a lasting peace this time, then as a concerned citizen, I'm urging them that the government and the opposition that should step aside and they give us the position as citizens to come out with the new leaders who will bring peace and who will unite people.
Proposing them at least to consider our cry as a women of South Sudan. At least they have to come up with the peace so that things will be in a positive side. All insecurity, all economic crisis has to be down.
My name is Lily Nelson. We want the warring party to sign the agreement and to bring to us a real peace, because we women, we are suffering. Especially these days, we are suffering economically, and the water raised up to 300 pounds, and some families cannot afford it. We need an urgent peace to South Sudan.
My name is Betty Sande. Let them compromise. Let them not look for the power-sharing issues, but let them come with a concrete peace agreement which should be signed, which will end the suffering of the people of South Sudan, especially women who have been suffering.
Let them come to a common understanding so that they bring peace in South Sudan, because people are really suffering. They should not think about positions, but they should really look into the suffering of the people of South Sudan. People are dying of sicknesses. People are dying of hunger. People are dying of gunshots. So let them consider all these things that the South Sudanese people are going through, and they should put aside their interest on positions, but they should really look forward to bringing peace. And I hope this time they are going to come to a common understanding and become one as they used to be.
So what I could just like them to do, let them put South Sudan common citizen in front of them, and let them view the kind of life that people are living right now, to make a better environment for everybody, to make a better environment for our little brothers and sisters who are growing up today. We don't want to have a hard life. We don't want to continue running all over the world.
Hey, my name is Shagari, and I would like the leaders at least to bring peace to South Sudan. I want them to rectify this economic crisis. You know, people are suffering, and the suffering is all due to the insecurity. So let them silence the guns so that at least the business can get to its normal, and the production of oil can go on, so that we can have the foreign currency to come in, so that the importing things will be cheaper than as you see the dollar rate always rising up just because we don't have enough hard currency. So if the dollar rate goes down, I think things will become cheaper, and the normal person can afford. Nowadays, you cannot even get food for 100 South Sudanese pounds. And there are people who cannot even afford to get 100 South Sudanese pounds in a day.
That was a sampling of voices of South Sudanese on the streets of Juba, expressing their strong desire for peace. Our thanks to Demo Silva Aurelio for gathering that audio. Tune to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Western countries are concentrating more on security and less on democratization of sub-Saharan Africa. Find out why when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what could you do if you saw someone harassing a woman?
That one. I think I would kill him. because I would put myself on that woman's shoes And it's not good for a woman to be harassed. I think it all depends with what the problem was.
To me, I will first have to talk to the person and I get the reason why the person is harassing a woman. And there are some harassment that can be like beating. Eh? So such ones, you cannot stop a person by talking or what. Since I know that I'm not capable of stopping the person from harassing, I have to report to the nearest police.
I first intervene and then first stop the action if it so happens. Then and maybe talk to the one who is harassing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. While the warring parties are still in Addis Ababa to talk about peace, the South Sudan Army is accusing rebels loyal to Riek Machar of attacking government positions in southern Liet State and of planning more operations to capture other areas. An army spokesperson says it appears the rebel leader wants to establish military control in and around his hometown before any peace deal is reached. Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Juba.
South Sudan's military spokesperson, Brigadier General Lulroy Kwang, says Machar is responsible for the fighting taking place in former Unity State for more than a month now, and says the fighting may escalate if Machar does not call off the attacks.
We have received information indicating that Riek Machar had instructed his field commanders to start offensive operations in three states. Southern Liggy State, that's his hometown. Nasser, which is the regional capital for Lajor State, and Maiwut, where Pagag is.
Kwang says Machar is trying to gain more ground militarily before any deal is reached in Addis Ababa.
On 20th and 21st, about 5,000 fighters loyal to Riek Machar assembled at Tonyor, which is not far away from Ler, and the intention is to attack Ler itself, the surrounding villages, especially where we are present, and Pakur. He was doing that with one intention or two, to keep on blackmailing the international community about his significance in the military and political arena. He wanted to take his hometown before any final peace agreement could be signed.
Kwang is calling on the regional bloc, IGAD, and the United Nations to pressure Machar to stop the fighting. And he wants South Sudan's peace monitors to investigate the ceasefire violations in former Unity State.
Let me take this opportunity to call upon the international community to prevail on Riek Machar in order for him to call off planned attacks on our defensive positions.
SPLAIO military spokesperson Colonel Lampol Gabriel dismisses Kwang's accusations and says it is government forces that are violating the ceasefire in former Unity State.
The accusation put on us by Lurwa is baseless. It has got no substance in it. Lurwa is trying to cover up their planned operation that is currently taking place in Ler. Not only Ler, by the way, in the whole of Unity State. 3 weeks ago, the forces of the HPLN government were moved from the northern side of Unity State. They came southward to make sure that, okay, they vandalized Ler completely. You know, Ler is where Dr. Riek Machar hails from. So when they're attacking Ler, they need to send message to Dr. Riek Machar by targeting the civilians.
The IGAD Council of Ministers released a statement yesterday saying the regional body will convene a meeting in the near future to consider punitive measures to be taken against violators of the cessation of hostilities agreement. The South Sudanese warring parties signed the ceasefire agreement in December 2017. Both warring parties have been accused of repeatedly violating the agreement by human rights organizations and other bodies. Waki Simon Wudu contributed some of the audio in this story from Addis Ababa. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
Fighting has also been reported between SPLA-IO rebels loyal to Riek Machar and fighters from the National Movement for Change, led by the former Western Equatoria State Governor in Yei River State, Mukaya County. The violence has displaced hundreds of people, many of whom have fled to the bush without water or food. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei.
Emmanuel Bida, a local resident who fled Soka Payam, says the fighting between armed men started from the Payam headquarters Sunday evening and has since spread throughout the village. Speaking in the local language of Pojulu, Bida says he saw three dead bodies on the ground while running away.
We fled these clothes in our bodies. All our houses were burnt down and our properties were looted. We fled into the bush and spent a night in the bush before we could reach Yei.
Esther Duku, another Mukaya resident, says her area was attacked on Monday morning. Speaking in Pojlu, Duku says the armed men raped some of the local women.
The fighters behaved badly. The armed men found us indoor and started shooting. They dragged us from our houses, and some of the women were stripped naked. Children were beaten. Our goats were tied on us, and we were forced to cook for them.
Duku is pleading with South Sudanese leaders at the talks in Addis to restore peace across the country and to rescue the women and children who, she says, have suffered for far too long. Amos Wani, the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission Director for Mukaya County, says the fighting has forced hundreds of people from their homes and now they have no food or shelter.
427 individuals arrived in Jejira, and 14 households in Kanjoro, about 64 individuals. And currently we are facing difficulties in food and shelter. And the international organization to intervene by helping the situation by food, medicine and shelter.
Mukaya County Commissioner Benea Georgian Clement says the situation remains tense.
There are so many cases that they cannot even tell their names. 17 were arrested. I really condemned the incident. Now my county indeed is bad luck. Almost three quarters of my county are now displaced.
Both SPLA-IO forces and fighters from the National Movement for Change claim control over Sokapayam. Kwaje Lasu, spokesman for the South Sudan National Movement, confirms fighting occurred in the area shortly after peace talks began in Addis. He attributes the violence to an intense movement of armed forces on the ground in just the past few days.
The clashes that had happened between our forces and the IO is very, very sad indeed. We hope that should not happen again, and we're trying to mediate between the forces. In fact, we in the leadership, we are talking with the leadership of IO to address these issues with the hope that will not repeat itself.
SPLA-IO Deputy Military Spokesman Colonel Lampole Gabriel denies his group clashed with the forces loyal to the former Governor Bakasoro.
They do not have their forces there. If they have, it's just because someone is there protecting his family and he claims to be a fighter. But the truth is, that place is under SPLA-IO.
But why Godwill, an SPLA-IO official in Yei River State, says his group has been fighting with other rebel groups in the area. The two groups first clashed in Mukaya in February, displacing more than 7,000 people from their homes. Most of those IDPs now live in the Jezira and Kanjoro areas, about 2 kilometers north of Yei town. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei.
A new report suggests many Western states are focusing less on democratization in Africa and more on security as the governance landscape on the continent is shifting. But it is a complex issue, according to Dr. Clement Adibe, professor in the Department of Political Science at DePaul University, who took part in a discussion on the topic today at the Washington-based Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Democracy is a very complicated process. We struggle with the news in the U.S. I'm actually very happy for Washington. I'm glad that Africans can now see that the United States is not a very easy country to govern, that Americans have problems with governance. And so that is a global thing. It's a work in progress. And the key of democratic politics is that eventually you do get it right. But it's not an automatically stabilizing factor. And I think we have to send that message out. Democracy doesn't give you political stability right now. It allows for political space, and my Cameroonian brother mentioned that. It allows for the opening up of political space with the view that the more input you get, the better output you're going to get. The problem in Africa, I must say, and this is very Weberian, is that processing that input has been very difficult, because of technical capacity. And that's where the work has got to be done.
The panel discussion follows the publication of a new report by the National Intelligence Council that follows key trends and uncertainties and tries to analyze how those shifts may shape the world in the next two decades. Economic growth, inclusive governments, and better quality of life and better civil liberties are all linked to democracy, according to Speaker Alexis Smallridge, the principal deputy National Intelligence Officer for Africa at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. She says there is pressure for the U.S. to act as a referee between African countries.
We are also seeing African governments, including key U.S. partners like Uganda, Ethiopia, and Kenya, push back against U.S. and Western involvement in their domestic space, lashing out for perceived political domestic interference.
That's because African governments are taking advantage of shifting international priorities, according to the report. It says regional and Western donors could consider pulling back from democratization and governance initiatives and instead focus on security and limited resources in the next 4 years. Adibe says democratization is a multifaceted issue that involves investors, but African governments should also focus on capacity building, saying small business is linked to governance issues.
We often assume that a lot of the problems in Africa is governmental. And it is. Post offices don't work the way they should and all of that. But much of that is because of the space that you see in the business community. There isn't much investment. Look, these are really poor countries. They're, for the most part, pre-industrial. And I come back to please do more. The Chinese have stepped in the past 15 years and have changed the landscape. It's stunning. American businesses, for the most part, wait for political checks, you know, check democracy, check rule of law, check that. Whereas other investors do not particularly do that. We need to boost the confidence and assurance from various parts of the U.S. government, the American businesses, which traditionally know Africa really well with their European counterparts, can do more.
Adibe says the lack of technical capacity on the continent makes processing that input more difficult. Efforts to contain an outbreak of Ebola in the neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo has become more difficult. This after three patients quarantined in Mbandaka fled into the city of more than a million people. One of the escapees was brought back the same day that he escaped on Saturday, while the bodies of the other two were found Tuesday, the day after they fled. The escapees raised concerns that the patients may have passed on the highly contagious disease to other people. It also underscores the challenges of keeping the outbreak under control in a large urban area. Vaccination efforts have focused on a so-called ring strategy of inoculating health workers and friends and family of those who already have contracted Ebola. The outbreak began in two remote villages before spreading to Mbandaka, the provincial capital in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And that's our show for this Wednesday. We leave you with the song "I Am Peace" by the I Am Peace Ambassadors.
I am the light shining bright in your eyes.
I am the voice whispering gently in your ear.
I am the hope that tomorrow is assured.
That forever we will stand side by side.
Salam,
salam,
inter salam.
Salam,
Anina
salam.
I am peace, I am peace, I am.
Ana salam,
salam,
inta salam,
salam,
Anina salam,
salam. I am peace, I am peace, I am peace.
Ma pe sultan barum salam, salam ya sultan al nesia. Kanita bis de wajata ku.
We've been listening to a group of South Sudanese artists called the I Am Peace Ambassadors performing the song I Am Peace. I'm Ayandeng Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Let us know what you think about the show. You can find us on the web at southsudan@voanews.com or reach us on Facebook. Our title is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
This is you, this is me, this is us. This is all about forgiving each other.